amigos. This is Ray Hudson from beIN Sports and Sirius XM FC, and you are listening to Barca Talk.
Today on Barca Talk, FC Barcelona ties 1-1 with Sevilla in a very even match. Coutinho scores his first goal of the season. Sergiño Dest makes his debut, playing as a left back, not a right back. And Sergio Busquets starts and plays 90 minutes again. Welcome to Barca Talk, part of the Blaugrangram Podcast Network. This is Alejandro Villegas, and I'm going to be your host today. And with me in this podcast, this Monday podcast, I'm going to be joined by Logan Steinle and Sergio Rodriguez to talk about Barcelona, FC Barça, and their game on Sunday against Sevilla. Two goals very early. Luke de Jong scored first for Sevilla, then Coutinho tied it up real fast just a couple of minutes after that. And Barcelona drops their first points under the Ronald Koeman management. How do you guys feel about it?
Oh, frustrated, bro. It was so frustrating, man. Left hanging. Oh, Busquets played 90 minutes. You believe that? Like, in what world does that make sense?
I'm just genuinely confused. I don't want to question the coaching yet because it's really early, but I'm just genuinely confused right now with the way this team's going.
So, okay, we're going to go through all of these details and we'll be pointing each one of them one by one so we can discuss about them. But first, how do you guys have felt with these three first games of the Ronald Koeman era? I mean, we're playing a different system. You kind of get to see what they're trying to do. In the first two games, they scored early, so that allowed them to actually control the game a little bit more, especially against Villarreal, who was a complicated rival at Balaidos, which is a very complicated stadium for Barca. It has been in the last couple of years. But the general feeling, then we can go a little bit more specific about this Barca-Sevilla match. But in general sense, those first three games of the season, how do you guys feel about it? Sergio, let's start with you.
You know what? I think, you know, Sevilla is probably going to finish top four in La Liga. You know, we saw them play the Super Cup against Bayern and take them into extra time. So they're a legit opponent, right? They're high level. I think Villarreal got their tactics wrong in the game against us. And I don't think Celta was that good. So this was probably the real true test. And we were playing at home, right? And then obviously, you know, De Jong fumbles a header. And we gave up the first goal. So, it was a true test, right? We had to come from behind. And Sevilla made it tough, right? They were pressuring us. And it kind of, you know what? The timing of our passes was off constantly throughout the whole game, first half, second game. And it was attributed to Sevilla. Their pressure was such that our passes just weren't crisp, weren't on time. And that happened. Even Messi played horrible. You know, let's be honest, man. The guy, you know, I'm looking at Messi. I'm like, this guy walks more than the mailman. Like, it's ridiculous these days. I'm like, wow, just get a mailbag on him and let him deliver the mail, because all he's doing is walking up there. And you know, he's trying to turn it on. He's coming all the way back. I thought he was playing double pivot because he's retreating all the way back to receive the ball. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on tactically? So I think Sevilla kind of exposed some of our weaknesses.
What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, agreed. I think I don't mean to discredit Sevilla when I say that we didn't play well, but they had a constant press. They were on us all game. They were following our players. I mean, it was pretty evident to see that. We might have been pretty tired there. Koeman, obviously, we have a lot more harsher practices. But overall, I didn't feel it today. It could have been just from last game being tired, the shorter spans between games. We'll see. This is the third game, so I think there's going to be changes next game. Obviously, you can't change what's worked in the last two games, especially when we've won the last two games by pretty big margins. Mm-hmm. So we'll see I think the next game we'll see a lot of changes as well as acquiring new Dest.
What was concerning was that, you know, as things got difficult, we reverted back to trying to play down the middle. Mm-hmm. We reverted back. Players were just looking for Messi. You know, Griezmann had his own chances, and he was like, oh, let me pass it to Messi. Like, no, dude. And then Messi had the balls to tell Fati, like, dude, you need to pass it to me if I pass it to you. No! Fati, take a shot. What he did was right. You take the shot. There's no point passing it back to Messi so he can get clogged up in the middle. We reverted back to bad habits. playing down the middle because Messi wanted it. We had to play wide. And the whole first half was just down the middle, right to where Sevilla was bunkering down.
Yeah, I remember that play, that specific play when Messi turns back and talks to Fati and asks him for the ball. I think the other play, the other option that he had was Jordi Alba just flying through the left wing, and that could have been another option. But I'm not mad at Fati because we've seen him, all right? He scored the first goal in the first couple of games. He's that type of player, and he has that instinct to go and shoot the ball, and that's fine. He has to just continue to develop that because he's the part of the future of the team. Talking about scoring goals, Coutinho scores his first goal after coming back from that loan from Bayern. Mm. And it was a little bit of a gift from Jesus Navas, right? But it has to feel good, right, for Barca fans. And I want to ask you guys this. Coutinho scores the first goal. The entire team didn't play their best version today. So it was the entire team came down a little, like a couple of steps right after the Villarreal match and the Celta de Vigo match. But do you guys agree with Ronald Koeman taking out Coutinho and leaving Busquets, for example, in for the last couple of minutes when Pjanic came in?
Yeah, I was Busquets was my first sub every time. It was like, get him. It was so bad. It was just horrible. His timing was off. He kept making little mistakes. And I'm looking, okay, first sub, it's going to be him. It's going to be, nope. It was not him. It was, who was it? It was Griezmann and Fati came out, the first subs. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like Busquets is just so slow and you could just see it. You know, there was times where he lost the ball and he would just run back and it was so slow. And I'm like, he's got to be the first sub. But obviously Koeman likes him. Is Busquets a captain?
He's one of the captains, yes.
So after, it's like maybe Piquet, I guess. Yeah, so maybe he has that kind of level of respect for him. Obviously, he's a good passer, but not today. I don't know what you saw, Logan.
Busquets, no, not today. I think he's great at facilitating deep in that attack, but when the press is on, and he had points where he's running down the right wing today and sending in crosses, and I had no clue why Trincao centerized and while he was running right and couldn't even get past Acuna. That was just pretty awkward soccer. I feel like they don't understand their shape yet for some reason, and I definitely think they have to work on that. And with Coutinho, I saw today, as Fati lost the ball on the left side, Koeman brought Coutinho back out to the wing when Coutinho is one of our best center players and brought Fati to the nine. So it's pretty clear that we're missing a nine because he brought Fati to the central part of the field. So I'm just confused why you would ever bring Coutinho out of the middle of the field. We saw what happened when he played left wing for us, and it just wasn't that good. He can't go either way. It's tougher to make decisions for him, it seems.
He doesn't feel comfortable there, right?
Yeah.
You know, good point about the nine. You know, it looks to be a nine by committee. So I was seeing rotations where it would be Messi, it would be Griezmann, and then Fati will sneak in there, and or Coutinho will come up. Yeah. And it's by committee. They're constantly rotating, but I think it's all depending on Messi. They're reading his movement, and they're like, okay, this dude is walking around playing mailman. I'm going to go up and be at the top of the spear. And then on defense, he ain't going to run, so now I got to come back and cover. So they're looking at his movement and adjusting accordingly. So it's difficult. It's not easy.
Yeah. In one of the reasons Busquets is playing so much, I guess it's because I'm trying to understand Koeman a little bit. It's because he helps with getting the ball out of the back, right? Barcelona, how many times they almost lost the ball back there. It was a constant frustration. It looked like Bayern Munich all over again. It's just that day Bayern was just so effective that they scored 8. But today, I think Sevilla almost robbed one or two balls that we were risking so much back there. Right. And it's frustrating sometimes because you have Pjanic there. And you saw Pjanic didn't play that much, but the minutes that he played, you can tell that he has that type of ability of getting the ball, controlling the ball, and distributing. Like Logan said, it's the first couple of matches, so we have to give them time so we can see what's the strategy about. But we have to remember, this next week is going to be FIFA is going to be playing, so Barca is not going to play. And then once they come back, they have Getafe and then Real Madrid. So it's not going to get any easier than with the next matches coming up. So it's very interesting to see what Ronald Koeman's plan is going to be, especially for that Getafe game, because I would like to see Pjanic and De Jong and leave Busquets in the bench. And like Logan said, move and keep Coutinho in the middle. Don't put him against the line because we know that he gets lost over there. Something similar to the other lost one in this starting 11, Antoine Griezmann, man. What can we tell? Like, what can we say at this point about Griezmann? It's just hard to watch. Like, we saw, if it was me, Trincao would start next game because you can tell that he has more idea of, okay, I'm doing this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to be quick in this side of the field. And he almost scored the winning goal there in the 90th minute. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Griezmann? And is it too early to call it a future sub and that Trincao is going to win over that spot?
I agree with you. I think Trincao should get the opportunity, right? Because I think Griezmann had two clear chances, right? He was there. He was on his own. And his first touch was just horrible time and time again. And I'm like, wow, this guy, it's either in his head where he's thinking like, I don't want to make a mistake, or he's thinking like, I need to find Messi and pass it to him. But he's lacking the confidence. So it's obvious to me that maybe he needs some bench time and think about it and let Trincao go in and have a go at it. When he came in as a sub, you know, the dude is left footed, right? But he's able to cross with the right foot. So that was nice. Or he's able to pause and cross with his left foot, and he's not scared to take a shot. He's a young guy. He doesn't know any better. He's like, put me out there. I'm going to run my guts off and give it 100%. So, hey, I'm all for that. Let's do it.
What are your thoughts on Griezmann, Logan?
Griezmann's skill set does not match a winger mentality. It's just so easy to see. He can't take people on with the ball. He's not a great passer. He doesn't know what to do with it when he gets it. Obviously, he's decent in the box when he gets his crosses or he gets his time to get a touch, but Griezmann is not meant to be a winger. I like Trincao. I think he's quick, great on the ball, beats people on the dribble, obviously. And right, when you're young and you don't think and you don't have to, like, you just react, that's such a great like aspect to have to the team too. That's why the youth feels so great right now, because you have guys that are just quick-witted, just ready to go at somebody like this, who are just, they're not worried about messing up, it feels like.
You know, Griezmann's strengths are his defensive responsibilities. You know, he's covering for Messi. Let's be honest, right? He's tracking back and he's covering because Messi's not going to do it. You know, so that's his biggest responsibility and what he's great at right now. So if we put in Trincao, we might lose some of that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the balance that Coleman is trying to achieve, right? How do I have some defensive coverage here and not leave us exposed if I bring in Trincao? So, you know, it's going to be up to the coach to figure it out.
I'd like to see maybe Griezmann late game getting subbed into the nine when we're having trouble scoring, maybe have him up top, sitting up top in that case. I don't know. I just don't see his role right now on the team.
Yeah, it's hard because he's not a natural nine, right? He's like a seven. He had that chance when you saw it. His first control wasn't ideal. Yeah. If he controls that ball right, he probably scores that goal, and Barca could have won this game, or at least be in front at that point in the game. But it's, I mean, we saw him. I don't know if we can actually play him as a false nine at some points. That could be an option. But at the same time, like Sergio was saying, we saw so many times Messi get into that spot, Coutinho get into that spot, Ansu Fati get into that spot. So I don't know if they're going to start bumping into each other if Griezmann is just sitting out there.
Right, they're just clogging up the middle, right? Mm-hmm. You know what's surprising, you know, watching Sevilla play, you know, Diego Carlos is prone to making mistakes, right? After watching the Bayern, he's a strong guy, but he's clumsy. So I was expecting them to come out with pressure up front, and there was nothing. You know, they just left the center backs to do their thing because, you know, Messi's not going to run, you know. So, but, you know, sometimes I wonder, do these guys even scout? Do they video scout the opponent? Because Diego Carlos is susceptible to errors, and we did not test him. And you just stay back and watch, and it was like, oh God, you know, it's a missed opportunity.
Okay, well, that's gonna be our first half. We still have a lot of things to talk in the second part of this podcast today. There's so many things going not in the exact direction that we want to in this point in Barcelona season, but it's been only three games, and we have to be patient, like Logan said. Let's go to a little quick break. Join our Patreon community for content from Spain about FC Barcelona. Join the community and help support the podcast so we can continue creating Barca content. This past week, we had mini pods and Barca Talk Cafe with Gabriel Quiroga and Mariana Guzman from Madrid and Barcelona. Okay, guys, we are back. Second half of the game. 40 minutes in, I thought Busquets should have been out, but he's still played 90 minutes. But let's get away from that. Let's get away from that and enjoy our second half. So I wanted to talk also about Frankie de Jong and Ansu Fati, because they were key players in the first two games, right? And then, they didn't have their best version against Sevilla this time, right? I don't know if Ansu Fati, after he got yelled at, he lost confidence, right? That's one of his attributes. He's very confident about himself, and every time he's heading towards goal, he something's going to happen. I don't know if I didn't see that today, that special flavor that he adds to every play he's involved in. You know something's going to happen. He has that spark that it's different from everybody else, and I don't know if you guys saw it the same way I did. But there was something missing there from Ansu Fati today. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, he's a young guy, so you're looking for that consistency, right? You're looking that for every day. At least if you can't contribute with goals, like, are you contributing with pressure? Are you contributing with crosses, right? Or defensively?
Yeah.
I think Sevilla was bunkering down, you know, if you can't go to the middle, then you better go down to the goal line, right? Get down to the goal line and get some cutback passes. You have to find a way to contribute. And, you know, and it doesn't help when you have the greatest player of all time barking at you and wanting the ball every time. Yeah. You know, I think he has to play his game, right? And mm-hmm. I think he has to play his game, you know, a lot more with Alba. You know, it's like when Alba goes up, it's really him and Messi. And I don't see that dynamic with him and Fati where we should see it, right? And it's just not there right now. So it kind of makes you wonder what's going on there or how we could improve it. You know, even in the second half when you saw Pedri get switched to the left wing and you saw Dest come in,
yes,
that was speed. That was dynamic. We saw mm-hmm. the interplay right there. And that I'm looking forward to that. I'm like, wow, well, obviously Dest is probably going to be on the right side. But that's the kind of dynamic you want to see with your left back and your left winger.
Yeah, agreed. Fati's still young, and he definitely lacks his vision and passing ability. But I think that will come with time. He's super skilled. It's just hard. I feel like Alba can't get down the pitch as much. He'll have that one overlapping run, and he really can't do anything other than that. He's not able to dribble and get away with it, away from people like this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. It's hard to tell what his skill set is. It'd be interesting to see like if Dest was with him at some point, but I'm not too worried about Fati at all right now. I still think he's an incredible finisher in the box, super efficient. We just had that press locked on one side. You could see Sevilla's three midfielders were constantly on our left side because we never fed the right flank, because the right flank in the first half and on wasn't able to do anything. It was just a constant barrage of those three midfielders coming at that flank. So it was just – it was hard in the first place for them.
Yeah, and it's – I mean, on the right side, we have Sergio Roberto, and we had Antoine Griezmann there, and we know they're both – out of position, they don't feel confident, and they're not giving Barca the same amount of progression that we're getting from the left side. And that's something that might change in the future, but we don't know what's going to happen with Jordi Alba because he got out, he was injured, and Dest can play both right back or left back. And for now, if Alba is out, I think Dest will start in left back because they're trying to sell Junior Firpo, and we'll see if they sell him before the market closes, which is on Monday, so I don't know if that's going to happen, but maybe we get to see a little bit more of Dest from the left side. In the meantime, Alba gets back. And that play, that particular play that Sergio was talking about, when Dest combined with Pedri and they did something different, right? That reminded you a little bit of when Alves. Dani Alves and Lionel Messi used to get together and do different things every time, and you never knew what was coming. So that's something that we can look forward to it, and hopefully it happens a little bit more often with these new players, because we're kind of tired of looking and playing the same way. And we saw it today. Sevilla almost won the possession. They were winning in the first 25 minutes, they were winning the possession over 16% to 40%, which is crazy at Camp Nou, right? And then at the end, it was like 52-48 or something like that. It was a little bit more even. But still, Sevilla controlled most of this game, and they hit a bar. They hit the crossbar. They almost went away from Camp Nou with the 3 points. And it's, I mean, I know we had a couple of chances there at the end, and I know it was a little bit better in the last 5 minutes, but I don't know. I feel like Sevilla controlled the tempo of the game for the most part. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, is this team going to pressure high at some point of the game, or just right. the first 10, 15 minutes? Because the second half, you could tell that, okay, we know Messi's not going to run, but the other guys were not pressing up either. But and then you have Messi and Busquets, so you have two slow guys to right. press. And then it gets a little bit more complicated that way. And I don't know if you guys saw the same about the high pressure and the way they were risking the ball in the back. I don't know. I saw so many things that were similar to that 2-8 against Bayern Munich that I am a little bit concerned about that situation.
Yeah, they weren't pressing, you know, it was surprising. At least pick your spots when you want to press. And then the mm-hmm. second half, they you know, they made those substitutions. And now you saw Dejan go up, and they went to a 4-4-2, and Dejan was playing up with Messi. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, okay, what's Koeman thinking? I'm like, okay, he's thinking, you know, Dejan has a lot of energy, and he's going to battle. So he wants somebody up there that is going to press where Messi is not, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. He's trying to put pressure. Now, the center back for Sevilla, Conde, he's world class.
Yeah.
I could see why people want him. I could see why Manchester United want him. So this guy was on Fati's side, and he was very, very stable. So, you know, you weren't going to pressure him. But Diego Carlos, like I mentioned before, he was susceptible. And, you know, I wish the mailman would have got on his postal card or something and got on his butt and pressured him, because he would have coughed up the ball, and that would have been some easy goals. But yeah, you know, you got to pick your spots. And the second half, I thought it was, once he put in the young legs and they were running more, then I saw a lot more pressure with Pedri and Trincao and Dejan up there. But like you said, Alejandro, we still got Busquets rolling around up there and Messi, and it's like, you know, it just slowed everything down. But on the positive, I thought Araujo started kind of jittery, and yes. then he settled down and had some beautiful long balls, really nice long balls that offered a different dynamic, you know. So I was kind of impressed.
Yeah, I agree. We have to press in their half. We're not getting the ball in their half. We're not letting them make mistakes. It's one of those things where we're not good enough to facilitate and play tiki-taka around the pitch right now to where we can just take it from the back and score. We need to get the ball in their half when they're not fixated or they're not in position and shape to score. One thing I will say, that their left back, Acuna, too, he was pretty great on the right side. He shut us down in that area. And as Sergio was saying, Araujo was great, honestly. That ball he put in through to, I don't even know who was on the wing on the right side. It might have been Griezmann. But, yeah, that's pretty incredible. That's why I want Pjanic, too, in, is we need to drop some deep balls. We have some fast guys on the wing with Fati and Trincao. We need to drop some balls in deep and find them off place and try to get a cross in at some point, because they're just clogging the middle.
Okay, talking about those fast guys, let's give it a look to what Pedri did and Trincao did and Pjanic, who came also in the second half. What do you guys? I mean, it was about 15 minutes each, 15, 20 minutes that they played this time. But I mean, we got to see a little bit of why Pedri's in the first team, why Trincao was bought for that amount. And that's why I put it out there. I mean, maybe I know you paid 120 for Antoine Griezmann, but how long are you going to take? I mean, we saw it last season. Setién took him out. Before that, Valverde took him out too for some points. And now you're seeing it again. He had to add Balaidos because they were one man down, and that's understandable. But this time it was just a tactical move. You know what? You're not working, and maybe Trincao or Pedri can be more of a different answer to all of those situations. So what do you guys think? Do you think Trincao or Pedri are going to get more minutes now, or they're going to continue using them for the last 25 minutes or so, like they did today?
Yeah, I think Koeman's going to keep doing what he's doing. It's going to, you know, the opponent's going to dictate, right? It's going to dictate the subs he brings in. And mm-hmm. in these last couple of games, it's almost been like the 60th minute mark. He's bringing both of them in. We have to widen the field. Right. We have to bring width onto the field because we're playing in the middle so much. And Trincao and Pedri does that a little bit on the left side. The other thing that I was surprised seeing that it got kind of hectic toward the end of the game that, you know, he didn't bring in Alenia or Puig as one of the pivots, right? To provide more, you know, offensive capability, to provide more through balls, to provide more long balls. And that kind of surprised me because we're going for the win, right? We're at home. We got to go for the win. And that was one, because we still had a sub, right? We get five subs. We still had a sub in our pocket. You know, and I was getting WhatsApp from some of my buddies, and they were like, dude, why is Dembele on the bench? Like, what do we have this guy for? Is he a Christmas ornament? What's he doing? Like, is he getting sold to Man U? We have the guy is faster than anybody. Yeah. He could change pace, but yet he's right there on the bench. So I'm like, okay, is he really that bad defensively, or what's going on, right?
Who was going to be out, right? If you put Dembele in, you couldn't take Messi out, so who else was up there? But I know Koeman is not going to do it.
If I'm Coleman, I'm only here 3-6 months. Why not? Like, the mailman's walking around. Like, I'm looking at the mailman. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm just waiting for a piece of magic for him to do. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. It's like he's the best player in the world, but he's not giving you – you know, his body language. If you look at his body language, he's moping around out there, and I'm getting – you know, my daughter's looking at me like, what's up with this dude? I'm like, well, you know, he's waiting for him to turn it on, or he's waiting for somebody to pass it to him so him could do some magic. But, you know, as you get older, you start to realize, like, you might not have it, right? Today might not be the day where the magic's there, and he keeps trying and trying. And you know what? Maybe Coleman has to pull the plug and say, hey, you know, sit this one down and let's bring somebody else up. You know, if I'm only there 3 months, why not? Am I crazy, Logan? Am I nuts?
You just can't. To a guy whose morale is already down with everything that's happened at the club, I just don't think you can take – you need him at his best. And if you take him out early in any game in any sense, I think he's just going to flip, and that could just change the chemistry in the team, especially with what everything that has gone on with him. I'm kind of worried about this, like, two center defensive mid set. I don't think we have the personnel to do that. And then on top of that, not having the nine and interchanging, it just seems like a puzzle that we can't connect, because we have Messi who just roams wherever he wants. And then these players have to decide when to go and when not to go. And Messi's obviously thinking on his own at any time. So it's just like a confusing, like I said on my own podcast, it's a confusing setup right now. And I'm not sure we'll be able to, like, crack this code. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it looks a little weird, because, I mean, even if you're playing Busquets, which I don't want to play, but even if it's De Jong and Pjanic there with Messi a little bit in front of him, and then maybe Coutinho playing as a false nine, and then Ansu Fati on the left, and Griezmann on the right, or Trincao on the right, you can understand the idea, but you still don't have a nine. Like, I mean, Bayern plays this system, right? But they have Lewandowski over there, which, so you understand that he's the nine, and he's that point, and they're all trying to create plays for him or for the wings, and it's a different system for sure. And I don't know, they're still trying to work it out, and it's just, they just have to face this rival who, I mean, they're playing great soccer right now. You have to give them that too. Sevilla's, I mean, they won two and they tied this one, and they just played the Super Cup against Bayern, and you saw that they went to overtime. They could have won it. I mean, if Benesiri scores that goal at the end, they win that trophy. So I don't know, it was a good test for Barca. So I know a lot of people were way high, and that happens a lot with Barcelona, right? They win a game, they win 4-0 against Villarreal, and you feel like you're on top of the world. This team is so good. They can score goals. They are so fast. They can control the opposition, and it's not that easy. So my last point for today, it's going to be about Sergiño Dest. He's back here. He's here in Barcelona already. You saw how he played a little bit there. I mean, Koeman was forced to. He was the only guy in the bench that could play that position. So what about now? You guys, if Alba is back healthy, we don't know yet. So if Alba is back healthy, do you play Sergiño Dest in the right back right from the get-go whenever they come back and they play again against Getafe? Or do you still keep him in the bench as a guy to come in the second half?
You know, I think Alba's going to be out for a bit, you know. So Firpo's injured. Alba looks like he's injured. And I think Dest is going to take that left back spot. I think it's better him than Sergio Roberto. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of, you know, is Messi going to look for him to make those runs? You know, it's a young guy trying to fit into the system and trying to figure it out in a position where he's not used to. And, you know, I hope they take advantage of his speed because the dude is fast. Like, yes. Holy smokes. He is fast and he presents, you know, a pattern of play that we don't have, we don't utilize, and that's crossing the ball. You know, if maybe you get him on the left wing and get him to cross the ball, that's just a different pattern of play that we don't, that will widen the field and get somebody, you know, get Fati or get somebody on it. You know, I think it'll be good. You know, why not? Let the kid get some experience and let him play.
Yeah, I agree. If Alba is hurt, he'll definitely get some minutes and some starts. But if he's not, I possibly see him coming off the bench again in the second half. But yeah, he's great. Obviously, in modern football now, you have to have your wing backs are just as much as a part of your offense as a part of your defense at some points. We need a guy like that. I mean, since Danny Alves, who have we had that's really been able to connect with our attack? It's super awkward now, and hopefully he can just provide something for some overlapping runs, because Jordi Alba, he doesn't even do the underneath passes at Messi anymore. That I never see Messi get a pass underneath from Jordi anymore. So I'm interested to see how Dest dribbles as well. I was watching a lot of compilation videos on him at Ajax after he got signed, like everyone else does. And he's a great dribbler too. He can take someone on. So I'm interested to see how he works out with the club.
And he's not a finished product. You know, he 19 years old? He's still going to develop. He's still going to get better. And all this different experience is just going to add to his repertoire, right? Playing on the left, playing on the right, playing with this caliber of players, you know, what they expect of you. So, you know, I'm happy he's on the team. I'm happy, you know, he's an American kid, him now and Conrad, right? Conrad's also there. Yes. And that might be, you know, that might be another solution at left back, because I've seen he could play left back. He's a left winger. If worse comes to worse, right? That might be a solution, because I don't think Sergio Roberto is going to lose his spot right now. Yeah. Especially with Alba hurt, I would not mess around with that area right now. It's like, okay, we got a left back problem, and we've had a left back. Firpo's just a mess. So, you know, let's try to figure it out with Dest or Conrad and see if they could help us resolve it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Lenglet can play also there if you want to be more defensive and just give Fati and Coutinho that area so they can create on the left side. But I don't know. They have some options there whenever everybody's healthy. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
Are you proposing a 3-4-3, Alejandro? Are we going 3-4-3? What do you think? 3-5-2? Let's mix it up, right?
Yeah, I think Koeman has shown that he believes in this system, right? And since he hasn't lost yet, I think he's going to continue to go with the 4-2-3-1 until, I don't know, until it doesn't work. And I guess, I mean, I'm up for change, right? I don't like coaches that just use one system, right? And we saw that a lot with Setien and with Valverde. They were like stubborn with the same system over and over. I like coaches that can adapt to the game and can, you know what, this team plays more on the outside. Let's do this. This team plays this way. Let's do this type of system. But let's see what Koeman does from now on. There have been just three games. I know we're frustrated. I know we lost. We dropped 2 points against Sevilla. And we are right there with Real Madrid. They have one more game than us. They have 3 points more than us. So we are kind of tied in that regard. And El Clásico is coming up sometime soon in the next couple of weeks. So it's still early in the season, but it's been very interesting to talk Barca about in this first couple of weeks. Yes, Sergio.
Hey, shout out to the Femenil, right? They took 4-0 over Mandril. So it was... That's a nice Clásico to see the women show up and spank them. So that was nice to get it started, and hopefully the men will follow up.
Hopefully. Well, thank you, guys. This was Monday's episode here on Barca Talk. We have to remind you, Barca Talk is part of the Blaugranagram Podcast Network under the Blaugranagram News outlet, blaugranagram.com. Go there, visit them. Blaugranagram is your place for all aspects of Barca, including that Femini that Sergio was talking about. They beat Real Madrid 4-0, so go to blaugranagram.com for more info on that matter and all about the team. We'll see what happens with Alba. We'll see what they decide with Griezmann. We'll have a little rest from Barca games because they're going to be playing with their own countries in the beginning of the South American qualifiers, and all the different countries will be playing different games. I think the Netherlands are playing Mexico, so that's going to be interesting there to see the young and playing against the Mexican team, and we'll see. Hopefully Barca can come back and win against Getafe, and they will be ready for the Clásico. And then we'll be back, guys. So fasten your seatbelts because this season is just starting.
We might, have Eric Garcia next week.
We might have Eric Garcia. We have to remember the market closes today, Monday, October the 5th. So we'll see what happens. We'll have it, of course, in our mini pod on Tuesday, all the details. That's on our Patreon feed. So join us there if you want more Barca content. And if not, you have to wait for the next episode of Barca Talk, and we'll have all your details. So thank you very much for joining us, and see you next time. Barca Talk is a production of Sounded Media with social media and promotion by 2.0. Until next time, visca Barca.